The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Stephen A., you already said it. The word is finally. Hello, everybody. Welcome on into First Take. Good morning. Good to see you. Thanks for being here with us. I'm Charlie Arnold. We got the guys here, Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith. And gentlemen, I know you've heard this phrase before, third time's a charm. And after three postponements due to a COVID outbreak, the Ravens and the Steelers finally set to kick off this afternoon. Now, according to sources of ESPN, two more positive tests come back before the team left for Pittsburgh yesterday. This marks the 10th straight day of positive COVID tests, which includes at least a dozen players, most notably reigning NFL MVP Lamar Jackson. In his place tonight, or today rather, under center, we've got RG3. So Stephen A., can the Ravens upset the Steelers with RG3 at quarterback?
Hell no. Absolutely not. I mean, when I'm thinking about the Steelers, I don't give a damn that it's the AFC North. I don't give a damn that it's the Ravens. These are the Pittsburgh Steelers, the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. And it would be a crime. I repeat, a crime. A crime. If the Pittsburgh Steelers, regardless of the three delays and the postponements to this game taking place, if RG3 comes in straight off the street, as far as I'm concerned, because we haven't seen him play in years. If this brother comes in and beats this Steelers, that defense, excuse me, it would be inexcusable. And oh, by the way, I will bring up the Dallas Cowboys in this regard. When that cat Garrett Gilbert came off the streets and almost beat the Steelers, you know what? That was your mulligan, Pittsburgh Steelers. You didn't know anything about them. You slept on them. You took the game for granted. You almost lost. So the fact that that backdrop exists from just a few weeks ago should have you alerted enough, combined with the level of annoyance for the three postponements, which Max himself alluded to, where it's supposed to motivate you even further, and then you're going to play this game, and RG3 is the quarterback instead of Lamar Jackson, and the Steelers, with that defense, with Micah Fitzpatrick and Stephon Tuitt, and T.J. Watt and the crew, and y'all going to have problems with RG3. I'll tell you this, Max, and I'll give it to you by saying this. If the Steelers have problems winning this game with RG3 being the quarterback, and I mean no disrespect to RG3. I'm just talking about his inactivity and what have you. I like RG3, okay? But he hasn't been playing. All I'm trying to say is if you have trouble with RG3 and that Ravens squad with no number one receiver, by the way, if you have trouble with them, I don't want to hear a word about the Steelers being in the conversation of being a legit Super Bowl contender that could potentially knock off the likes of a Kansas City Chiefs or somebody like that. No. You got to handle your business against an RG3 in order to be in that kind of conversation. That's where I'm at with it, Max.
Let me channel my inner Stephen A., okay? Ready for
That's
this?
That's impossible for you.
You are being very disrespectful, Stephen A. Smith. Okay. You are being very disrespectful to the Baltimore Ravens and to this rivalry. This is Steelers-Ravens, brother. They are going into this season. They played 44 times in this century. The record was 22-22. The point differential, everything down the board, down the line, was just about as even as it could possibly be. This is Ravens Steelers. All bets are off. And by the way, you can read it right there on the screen. You know when the last time RG3 started a game? It was the last week of last season. Last game of last season. Pittsburgh. Baltimore. Baltimore had everything locked up. Number one seed locked up. So they didn't start anybody. Like, Pittsburgh was playing against the Baltimore backups. Now, Pittsburgh didn't have Ben Roethlisberger, but they had everyone else. Baltimore didn't, and they started 30-year-old RG3. See that? Week 17 versus Pittsburgh, under 100 yards passing, 50 rushing yards. What we're not showing is he didn't pass for much better than 50%, 11 out of 21 completions, right? But Baltimore won the game, and they won it by more than two touchdowns. It was 28-10. So I understand that Roethlisberger, it's not just like, well, Roethlisberger better be able to make up 18 points. Of course, the offense is at an advantage because the Pittsburgh offense puts them in good field position. I get all that. But Stephen A., they beat him by more than two touchdowns with their backups and RG3. So, like, you could say whatever you want about, well, Pittsburgh better do this and Pittsburgh better do that. Even if Roethlisberger puts them in a better position, Pittsburgh is correctly the favorites. By the way, they also playing with a chip on their shoulder because of all the postponements, I'm sure. But to sit here and, as you would say, just summarily dismiss the chances of the Baltimore Ravens with a quarterback who beat this Pittsburgh team the last time he faced them with backups in this kind of rivalry, that's ridiculous. Of course the Ravens have a chance to win this game.
Well, first of all, it's blasphemous for you to call it ridiculous. I would remind you, Max Kellerman, that since 2016, four seasons have taken place, or really three and a half. In that time span, RG3 has thrown 26 passes for 255 yards. 26 passes for 255 yards in the last 4 years. And that dude is supposed to be able to do damage against these Steelers? Please, there's nothing ridiculous about it. There's nothing asinine about it. There's nothing to even think about here. The Steelers the defense should dominate the Baltimore Ravens. Now, if it's a close game or what have you, it should be because the Baltimore Ravens defense was able to hold the Steelers offense in check. That should be the reason. Instead of running the football with James Conner, who I consider to be average, I got Claypool and I got Washington and I got Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson and the crew. I go five wide, I'm Big Ben, I'm flinging the football all over the field. If Baltimore has a way to stop that, God bless them. But as far as I'm concerned, this should be the equivalent of what the Steelers just did to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Something along the lines of like 27-3. If the Baltimore Ravens score a touchdown offensively, the Steelers should be ashamed of themselves. Passes in 4 years? Come on, man. Come on. This defense
You're
should handle their business.
Pointing out why the Steelers are favored. They are correctly favored. But to dismiss the Ravens can play defense.
I'm dismissing the Ravens' offense.
Last year, when you go back to last year, was that a motivated Pittsburgh team at the end of last year? Highly motivated Pittsburgh team. They win that game. They're over 500 for the season. Without
really?
Roethlisberger. That's
really?
Why they used all their starters. Like, everyone started for Pittsburgh. Yeah, everyone started for Pittsburgh. It's a rivalry game against the Ravens. They're playing for a better than 500 record.
They already had their vacation plans.
They didn't start anybody.
They're ready.
It was RG3 and a bunch of backups, and they won against Pittsburgh starters. Yes, Roethlisberger makes a difference. Yes, the Pittsburgh defense this year is even better than last year, and that makes a difference. First of all, if you've designed an offense around Lamar Jackson, there's a reason you have Robert Griffin III on the team as your backup quarterback, because he can approximate Lamar Jackson. Of course, he's not as good as Lamar Jackson anymore. I mean, when RG3 was a rookie, when he was at his best before his injury, he was, Lamar Jackson 1.0 or Michael Vick 2.0.
Max.
He was the super fast quarterback who could also throw the ball down the field. So, yeah, he's kind of the perfect backup for this offense that has Lamar Jackson. And when last on the field, he beat this Pittsburgh Steelers team, Stephen A.
Will you stop it?
Roethlisberger better be able to make up 18 points.
Well, first of all, just because you get – listen. I understand yesterday you started off – Monday you started off the week. You had a nice crew-cut haircut, looked about 10 years younger, and all of this other stuff. But that doesn't give you the right to gauge a selective amnesia, Max Kellerman. If you recall last year going into that last game, Week 17, the Buffalo Bills had already clinched having – controlling their own destiny for that wild card spot. So the Steelers, all their hopes have essentially evaporated. Yeah, they might have started them the last game of the season, but they were pretty much out of the mix. They weren't going to the playoffs. They knew it, and that was that. In the end, what it comes down to is this.
Nice.
I'm not talking about the Ravens collectively. I'm talking about the Ravens offense. The Steelers defense should run roughshod over these brothers. It shouldn't even be a contest against that Baltimore Ravens offense. They shouldn't score a touchdown. They should have scored a touchdown.
Well,
you, by the way,
Stephen A.,
you
got
a haircut, or at least a shape up. You got a lineup, at least. Someone lined you up because it's looking crispy today.
Well, thank you, sir. You know what? I appreciate it.
We like that. We like looking crisp. Hey, Stephen A., I have something. I have some breaking news that's going to even help to strengthen your argument about the Ravens' offense.
Go ahead,
we now know, according to a Jameson Hensley source that just came in, We now know that J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, both running backs for the Ravens, not expected to play tonight despite being eligible to play. So the Ravens offense going to be looking a little weaker as a result
of that. So you're telling me on top of the situation at the quarterback and on top of the situation of not having a real number one receiver, they don't even have a running game tonight? I'm telling you right now, if the Steelers give up a touchdown, if they give up a touchdown, if their defense gives up a touchdown to that offense, I'm going to be ashamed. I'm going to be ashamed of them. Period.
All right. Well, what do you say? Let's talk about a guy that all he knows about is really winning. His name is LeBron James. Coming off of a season that brought him his fourth championship, LeBron James, he is confident the Lakers can run it back in the upcoming 2021 campaign, citing a younger squad also picking up Marc Gasol. So here's what the King had to say about it on the podcast Road Trippin'. He said, "We can repeat. I mean, it's that simple. We absolutely can. First of all starts with health. You have to have some luck. You have to have health. If we can stay healthy, dot, dot, dot." All right, you can fill in the blank there with that dot, dot, dot. Of course, there is going to be some other competition in the West trying to keep the Lakers from making it to the title game once again. That team playing also in the Staples Center. So I ask you, Max, is Kawhi going to be the one that stands in the way of the Lakers making it to a championship once again?
Oh, I hesitate to answer this question because I know what's coming. So I'm going to give my answer, and then I'm going to lay out for a while. And then I'm coming back at you, Stephen A.
Okay.
Let me just say the answer to the question, does Kawhi have the best shot to stop LeBron, is no.
What?
The floor is yours.
What? Really? Oh, you know something, Max? Max Kellerman is hilarious. Let me get this straight. The best player in the world. Kawhi Leonard, your guy, the guy that's the best player in the world, Stephen A. Tommy, please, he's the man. It's not LeBron. He's not the king. That dude, Kawhi Leonard, who led the Clippers. That's right. Go hide, Max. Wait a minute. Let me put an APB out for Max Kellerman. Where the hell is he? Get your behind back here. Don't hide now. You got to be kidding me. Excuse me, Kawhi Leonard, who just got Serge Ibaka, who still has Paul George. He's got Ty Lue as a new coach. That's right. Show that face, Max Kellerman. Show that face. You got to be kidding me. You're going to sit up here with a straight face? I don't even give a damn about what your answer is. That's right. Ooh. I can't believe him. I can't believe you actually sat there with a straight face and said not Kawhi Leonard. Not Kawhi Leonard. The season hasn't started yet. Preseason hasn't started yet. The Clippers lost a 3-1 lead. They're highly motivated. Kawhi's got something to prove. Ty Lue's his new coach. Paul George got to show that he ain't going to hit the side of backboards from three-point range. And I love Paul George, so I don't like getting on him. Reggie Jackson has been retained. Patrick Beverley is still there. Serge Ibaka has replaced Montrezl Harrell. You're trying to tell me that you don't believe that Kawhi Leonard, your dude, the number one player in the world, the two-time champion, the two-time finals MVP, that dude does not have he's not the favorite to knock off LeBron? I didn't even sit up there and ask you, is he going to knock off LeBron? I said, should he be the favorite? And your answer is no, Max Kellerman? No? Really? Really?
You said something just now that explains why. You said you like Paul George. You don't want to get on him. That's the reason. If it was Kawhi on a team built that has a similar strength to the Lakers, that's one thing. It is not. Because his second banana, Paul George, goes away in the playoffs. Stephen A., Kawhi needs all the extra credit to be considered better than LeBron. I thought he was going to get it. I thought he was Mr. Game 7, fourth quarter. I seen it. He didn't. He wasn't that this last season. And if he doesn't have that going for him, the clutch thing going for him, I can't put him ahead of LeBron, who's better than everyone else, right? But I thought Kawhi is a two-way player, plus when you need it most, given his age, everything. I was proven wrong when he went away in the fourth quarter against Denver. In the playoffs. However, Kawhi is a beast. Kawhi actually had a great playoffs. Kawhi was the reigning finals MVP heading into the season, his second finals MVP. He's a great player in his prime. If he had another player of his caliber, like LeBron does, on his team, and the proper role players around him, I would pick Kawhi to win. He doesn't. If you're second banana, they have two superstars on the team. Only it's really only one superstar and one star who are always waiting to become a superstar, but he doesn't do it. You brought up hit the side of the rim, had the side of the backboard in game seven, right, in the fourth quarter. Side of the backboard. He's so off, he loses confidence in the moment of truth. How can I say that Kawhi got the best chance? Put Kawhi with another dude like him the way LeBron's with AD. And then, sure, by the way, Stephen A., even bring in Chris Paul switch teams, right? Bring in a Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Bring in a dynamic playmaker to make the offense cohesive. I still would have picked the Clippers. They didn't. I can't.
So, just a question, man. So, it's Paul George's fault that Kawhi Leonard isn't the kind of leader that can galvanize troops? It's Paul George's fault that Kawhi Leonard is superstar, as much of a superstar player as he is, walks around with such an indifferent mentality, all about making sure he handles his business as an individual, but doesn't necessarily maximize the potential around him. That's Paul George's fault. Was it Paul George's fault that Kawhi Leonard shot 6 of 22 from the field and scored 14 points in a game 7 after losing a 3-1 lead, but Jamal Murray had 40? That's Paul George's fault, too? I thought that Kawhi was the elite defender. I thought that he was the best player in the world. I thought that he was the ultimate leader. That's what you said. That's what you said. Now, I know you said oops. I understand that, man. I think it would have been appropriate. Matter of fact, I got another beef with you, Max. And you know what the other beef with you is? I thought it was an exceptional thing that did right now, just hiding out of the camera. That's what you should have did after they lost game 7. My only beef with you is, why didn't you do it then? What you doing? What you saving for this morning?
Well,
for?
I might be slow, but
where
I'm
was
not
that
stupid.
Max Kellerman from this morning that was hiding from the camera, hiding away from the camera? Where was that Max Kellerman after game 7 when Kawhi Leonard shot 6 of 22, finished with 14 points, let Jamal Murray drop 40, damn near average 40 for the series, and oh, by the way, all Max had was a oops. You should have been hiding from the camera. That's my beef.
Nah. Look, here's the bottom line. Kawhi had a bad game 7. He's had very few bad clutch performances in his career, and he's had more clutch performances than almost anyone, like whoever lived. Like, you look at how many clutch performances Kawhi has had since he was a 22-year-old before he even knew what he was doing. He wasn't highly touted or anything like that. Since Board Man gets paid out of college, just happy to be drafted and all that stuff, he is a very clutch player. Even clutch players have very bad nights. But he picked the wrong night to have a bad night. But what I'm saying is I don't expect a repeat of that from Kawhi. More often than not, he comes through. So then it becomes, what's his supporting cast like? I like Ibaka over Harrell. I think that's a marginal improvement, okay, right? But Stephen A., you and I both know they needed a point guard. It's just a position Kawhi plays. Kawhi can
He's
an above-average passer at this point in his career for a small forward. But he's not right. Rondo or CP3
they
would have been
Rondo,
even better.
But they Atlanta offered them about $10 million more. They offered him about
money,
$10 million
right?
more.
I get it. But we have to admit, the Clippers, if they got better, got marginally better in the offseason and didn't get what they needed. And the reason they need more is because Paul George ain't AD. Paul George ain't AD. Never considered like AD, not AD. But AD is AD. He's an MVP caliber player. So, what's that?
I'm going to say this. I am in no way trying to throw shade on Kawhi and act like Kawhi is not great. Kawhi is one of the top 5 players on the planet. He is a great, great player. But he ain't no LeBron James. He ain't on that level. And it's time for you to emphatically admit that. And if you're going to say Kawhi doesn't have the best shot to knock off LeBron, well, who the hell does? I'm asking.
I believe
that's a really good point.
If Porzingis is healthy, Luka Doncic has the best chance. If Porzingis is healthy, and I say that because the Dallas Mavericks in Doncic have a guy who's already playing almost as well as anyone in the world, right on that MVP level, and there's room for improvement on the defensive end and three-point shooting, which I believe he can do. So that plus a 7'3" guy who can shoot the three and defend if he's healthy, I think that's the best chance of anybody. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And a year and a half after tearing his Achilles, signing with a new team, and a long road of rehab, Kevin Durant finally suited up with the Brooklyn Nets to open training camp yesterday. KD, how you feeling?
Are you physically going 100%?
Yeah. Every drill that I've done, I've been going as hard as I could. I don't mean 100%. I mean, I've been in the league for 14 years. Even if I didn't have an Achilles, I probably wouldn't be 100%, you know, it's the wear and tear over time, I guess. But I feel solid. In the game, and coach want to pull me out early unexpectedly, of course I'll, you know, try to push back. But I know they have my best interest. But like I said, we're just going to take it a day at a time.
Max, you think that Kevin Durant should be able to take the Nets to the finals? Should he be expected to do so?
No, you can't expect him to do it. I think that that would be expecting a guy to make one of the most miraculous comebacks from an Achilles of all time. And I don't just think you should expect that. And it's not that I'm anti-Durant. I love KD. I love watching him play. And I love his attitude. I love the fact that we've seen him go from what seemed to me from afar to be an insecure kid. Most kids are insecure, right? To a confident adult, you know, who's not so thin-skinned and maybe doesn't have the same kind of rabbit ears he used to and is more, seems to me, to be more kind of satisfied with who he is and what he's done and where he's going. So all that's good. I root for him. But Stephen A., if I just expect him to get to the finals coming off an Achilles, even with Kyrie, because Kyrie has also been a chemistry destroyer, as great a player as he is, Dinwiddie and LeVert and these guys, that's kind of like downing them if they get to the conference finals. And I think that's as much as you can expect. I'm not going to call this season a failure. First year back from a catastrophic injury. First year head coach. Guys who've never really played together if they get to the conference finals. Like, the Bucks have been playing together for a long time, and they added Drew Holiday, which is exactly what they needed. You have teams in the conference like Miami, like Philadelphia, who have more continuity and aren't coming off catastrophic injury to their best player. Just like with the Lakers, had they not won the whole thing, had they just gotten to the Western Conference Finals, I wouldn't have said this is a failure, because I would have picked them probably to win this year. To me, next year is the Nets' year. If they do it this year, that's ahead of schedule.
I'm not expecting them to win the chip this year, but I expect them, if Kevin Durant is at least 80%, because I think he's that lethal, he's that phenomenal, I think better than 80%, they should be able to go to the finals. But it's not just because of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is sensational. We know what he brings to the table, and I don't think that he needs to be extremely athletic and 100% himself. The dude is 6'11 with a 7'6 wingspan and can pull up from 30. I think he'll be fine. He's going to easily average 25 a game, if that's what he wants to do. Kyrie Irving had a shoulder injury, didn't have a leg injury. I expect him to be nothing short but spectacular. He's a showstopper. We know what he brings to the table. But here's the interesting element, and this is why I think that people don't need to sleep on the Nets in terms of getting to the finals. I think they need to make the move for James Harden to win it all, but I don't think they need to make that move to get to the finals, because I don't view the Eastern Conference the way that I view the West. When I look at the Eastern Conference, I'm thinking about a 26-year-old Spencer Dinwiddie that averaged 20 a game. I'm thinking about a Joe Harris Harris, who just got his new deal, that shot 42%+ from three-point range. I'm thinking about a Caris LeVert, who averaged 18 points a game, and we know he could ball, especially what we saw him do, particularly in that game against Portland that they lost in the closeout game, those eight-game bubbles, those eight games in a bubble where they were going up against Damian Lillard and those boys. These brothers can play, and when I look at what they bring to the table and how they can play, I don't underestimate nor do I sleep on what they bring to the table. I think that combined with veteran leadership in that locker room to help Kevin Durant, I definitely think that when you look at it and it comes down to this, they got a superstar in Kevin Durant, who at 80%, by the way, is still a superstar. They got a showstopper in Kyrie Irving, and they got a bunch of supplementary parts that ain't average. These brothers, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, can play. Joe Harris can really, really shoot. Jared Allen's only 21 years of age, averaged 11-9. I'm looking at them, and I'm saying, yo, man, I can't sleep on these brothers. The fact of the matter is, when I look at the Eastern Conference, the question is, who do you have that can really neutralize or nullify what Kevin Durant can bring to the table? It still ain't the Greek Freak come playoff time, because he don't have that kind of perimeter game to be that formidable. He'll get numbers, but when you really, really need guys to do some things, I don't think he's that guy. And as much as I love Jrue Holiday and as an elite of a defender as he is and as great of a two-way player as he is, I think the Nets have enough weapons where that wouldn't be enough. If Kevin Durant is plus 80%, well, I believe the Brooklyn Nets should be in the finals.
Yeah, I'd say if Kevin Durant's closer to his real self. I mean, at 80%, let's call it Paul George. Forget about exactly the game, the size, like how much value is 80% of KD. Let's call that Paul George. I look at Paul George, Kyrie Irving, and in other words, Paul George about 80% of the player that KD is. I look at Paul George, Kyrie Irving, LeVert, and these guys, and I think that's a damn good team. But as soon as you stop thinking of KD like MVP KD, and start thinking of them like an all-star or an all-star plus KD, now you think about matchups like the Bucks, where Giannis is an MVP caliber player, like where Jrue Holiday is more than just an all-star when it matters most. Now, they didn't get Bogdanović in that deal. Had they gotten Bogdanović, even more. Still, they have Middleton and they have shooting. Brooke Lopez can defend the rim and shoot. When I look at Philadelphia, Simmons and Embiid, in terms of upper end talent and size, you can start to compare those guys to Kyrie and KD. Kyrie and KD more talented, but not much more talented. Those are two potential MVP caliber talents, and Daryl Morey has brought in real shooting. Not D and 3 guys instead of 3 and D like Josh Richardson, but Seth Curry and real 3 and D guy like Danny Green, not to mention Dwight Howard, who's very efficient in the paint and really good defensively, right? So I start to look at these other teams who have more continuity among their best players, not to mention Miami, Stephen A., where you say, no, they don't have the upper-end talent to match the Nets, but they have continuity, they have coaching, they have the organization, they have Jimmy Buckets, right? They have Tyler Hero, who we saw. Damn, that dude is super young, and he is a baller. They have Bam, who just signed up. They have Tyler Duncan Robinson, who can shoot the lights out. They have a really good team. I see competition like that in the East. This ain't your big brother's Big E, you know, Big Brother's East, right? This is the new East. They have better, higher-end teams. And KD coming off that injury, I'm just not going to assume that he gets to the finals. I'll assume they get to the conference finals. They'll be one of the two teams left standing in the East, but I'm not going to assume more than that.
Well, listen, I guess you're right about that, because we shouldn't assume it. To me, it's an expectation only because I recognize how significant all of this is for KD. You know, you left Golden State. You went to Brooklyn. You know what? You wanted your own team. You wanted to guide your own team to the title. So it's not only the legacy you left behind with Steph and Klay and those boys in Golden State. It's also the fact that LeBron James just won his fourth chip. What you going to do? Because KD would have tied them. If KD had ultimately not gotten hurt, he would have had his three rings, because they would have won three straight, because they would have walloped Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors. Probably would have swept them, in my estimation. So I'm looking at him coming off that injury, coming back here, and with LeBron being that dude, the champion right now, the four-time champion, having Anthony Davis in the crew, I think Brooklyn's going to need to make a move for James Harden, because I think that's the only thing that could potentially knock the Lakers off, is if James Harden arrived in Brooklyn. I don't think anything else gives anybody a shot against the Los Angeles Lakers, but in terms of KD and his agenda and what he's got to prove. Listen, you trying to sit up there and match LeBron. You trying to get another chip. To KD, bring a chip to Brooklyn? To Brooklyn, New York? A champion in Brooklyn, as you said?
It's over.
Because of KD? Man, please.
KD does that?
This is what it is. This is what it is. Highly motivated.
If KD brings a chip to Brooklyn, Stephen A., if KD brings a chip to Brooklyn at any point during this contract, he is going to join in every conversation the uppermost echelon of all-time greats.
That's
right. If he does that, he's going to be the biggest star in
the world. No question. No question.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After leading the Clippers for most of the last decade, Doc is now back in the East with Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and the Sixers. No secret, Ben Simmons has struggled with his shooting, but that does not seem to bother Philly's new head coach.
I don't care about Ben's shooting as much as so many other people seem to care about it. I care that he's a great player, and I'm going to let him play. I'm going to give him the keys and let him be free and play. If he takes no shots, I'm fine.
All right, some interesting comments there. Now, there is a debate whether Embiid or Simmons is the top dog in Philly, but Stephen A. asked you, do you think that Simmons is going to be the best player for the Sixers?
I do think he's going to be the best player with the Sixers, but I will say this. Max, you know how close I am with Coach Doc Rivers. I love the man, and but I'm going to say this affectionately. I can say this to Doc Rivers because that would be he and I debating basketball before he ultimately schools me because he knows more than I do, of course. But I think that is the most asinine thing I've heard Doc Rivers say. He doesn't care if Ben Simmons shoot the ball. Stop it. And if you don't care, damn it, Doc Rivers, you better care. Okay? Doc Rivers, let's understand something here. Do y'all know Max Kellerman? In the three full seasons that Ben Simmons has played basketball in the National Basketball Association, do you have any idea, Max Kellerman, how many three-point shots he's attempted? He's attempted.
I don't know the number of attempts.
He's attempted 24 three-point shots in his career. He's made two. That's it. Two three-pointers in 3 years. That's Ben Simmons. So essentially, come playoff time, a lot of times you see defenses lagging off and basically daring you to do something. And if the ball is in his hands, essentially it's 4-on-5 basketball. Now, this is Doc Rivers coaching this team, okay? Not Brett Brown, and we understand that, even though we wish nothing but the best for Brett Brown. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. Ben Simmons is still going to be your best player. Here's the reason why. Because outside of his shooting ability, he could do everything else. He's an elite defender. He's about 6'10 with that wingspan. He's got mad ball handling skills. His basketball IQ is off the charts. He's an exceptional passer. We know all of that. The acquisition of Seth Curry is the difference here. Seth Curry, the son-in-law of Doc Rivers. That acquisition is pivotal because that brother can shoot. He's a Curry. He's just a Curry. I mean, it's gotten to the point, Max, if your last name is Curry, the expectation is that you can shoot.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn if you're a Curry from another country. Okay? You have no relation to the Currys whatsoever. They are such lethal snipers that if your last name is Curry, the expectation is you can shoot the damn basketball. So when you have him, Thybul is no joke. Defensively, we get all that. But a Tobias Harris, a Joel Embiid, and the way that Doc Rivers will utilize them, the way he's going to unleash Ben Simmons, I think he's going to unleash Ben Simmons to be more of a scorer as opposed to a shooter. I think Ben Simmons, knowing he has that freedom, will be more creative, and I think that will lead to him facilitating so much for everybody else. That's what's going to make him the best player the Sixers have, even more so than Joel Embiid.
Ben Simmons is already a great player. I thought he was the best defender when he was healthy, you know, before the knee injury in the NBA last year, period. I thought he should have been Defensive Player of the Year up until that point. He's 6'10". He's like a kind of poor man's LeBron, only with better handles than LeBron. But he has that kind of court vision and passing ability. He can finish at the rim, all those things. And by the way, since he's come into the league, he has created more open looks from three for his teammates than anyone in the league. So yeah, he actually assists you, literally, in that department. He is a great player already, and yet Embiid will be the best player on the Sixers this season. Stephen A., remember when I was complaining about J.J. Redick's transition defense and that was hurting the Sixers?
Okay.
I think I fell victim to something that afflicts many, which is you kind of get bogged down in what someone can't do instead of looking at what they can do. Redick was sorely missed by the Sixers, especially by Embiid.
Right? Could you hold on for a second?
Like that. And,
could you stop right there? Could you stop right there? Could you tell the world what I told you about J.J. Redick and you wouldn't listen because you just echoed what I told you back then? I told you how valuable he was. Are you acknowledging, Max Kellerman, that you have learned the error of your way? Do we need another hiding moment from you? Because I said this about J.J. Redick.
I have one word answer for you. Ready?
Yes.
Whoops.
Oh. Go ahead,
now,
man.
Now, yes, they're missing Rex. So, but look what Daryl Morey did, Stephen A.
Right.
Look what Daryl Morey did. And Ben Dietrich pointed this out on Twitter. What do Dwight Howard and Seth Curry and Danny Green all have in common? They're extremely efficient scorers. Seth Curry can really stretch the court, right? Because he creates extra space like his brother does. He can bomb from deep like J.J. Redick. Not all three-pointers are created equal. Danny Green is an actual 3-and-D guy. He can actually shoot the three and then also really defend. And Dwight Howard's an excellent defender and really is very efficient in the paint because that's where all his shots come from. Okay, but how does this help Embiid? Why does this mean it's going to be Embiid? The reason Embiid suffered last year is because you could double Embiid. Like, you're going to leave. Josh Richardson's not bothering anybody. He's really more of a D and 3 guy than a 3 and D guy. You're going to leave Seth Curry alone? You know what Seth Curry means? It means Joel Embiid, who is among the most efficient scorers in the league, particularly in crunch time, Stephen A. Last 5 minutes of the game, 5 points or fewer, he was the most clutch player in the league. He shot nearly 50% from three in those situations. He shot over 50% from the field in his true shooting percentage. I think something like 72%. It was off the charts, right? Now he has Seth Curry and Danny Green and real spacing and the ability to punish you, because he's an underrated passer, to punish you if you try to double him. Embiid's going to have a monster season if he stays healthy. And in fact, as great as Simmons is, he's already a great player, Embiid will be the best player on the team.
Embiid has attempted 747 three-pointers in his career. The last two seasons, he threw up 263. Last season, 172 three-pointers. Doc Rivers is going to have to change that because Joel Embiid needs to get his behind on the block. You know, use that backside, back cats down, use that tremendous footwork with his tremendous touch and wreak havoc and force people to descend upon him to help create. If he were to do that, then he could give Ben Simmons a run for his money. But the fact of the matter is, until we see it, we can't believe it.
When I'm looking at Ben Simmons, I'm taking into account that he's not a three-point shooter. I'm taking into account that he's not going to attempt to shoot three-pointers. But I'm also taking into account everything else we've already seen. And what we've already seen from him, I think, makes him a better facilitator for other success than Joel Embiid.
Real quick, forget about the three for a second. The reason the three is a good shot as opposed to the mid-range nowadays is if they're equally contested, they didn't used to be, but if they're equally contested, then you might as well get an extra point for your troubles, right? Shoot it from three if you're going to hit it around the same rate nowadays because they practice it so much as a mid-range. Here's my issue with Ben Simmons, Stephen A. It's not even the three. How about within 15 feet? Not in the paint, but within 15 feet. Can you try some jump shots from there? Can you try to shoot the mid-range in at least? Like, just shoot the ball? Because he doesn't even do that. And when I hear Doc Rivers talk about he doesn't care if Simmons shoots, I'm like, all right, Doc, I get it from three. He's not coming. He's got to shoot from somewhere. Because otherwise, the playoffs come around, he's in the dunker spot again. You know, and Shake Milton, someone else is going to have to handle the ball. So for that reason also, I will take Embiid by a hair.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.